Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors won Game 3 of the NBA Finals by a score of 123-109 against the Golden State Warriors at Oracle Arena. Listen, I'm just going to get all the caveats, all the excuses out of the way. All right, so the Warriors had every excuse to lose this game. They had Klay Thompson, he was out. I mean, it was sort of a game-time decision, but it really came down to the Warriors didn't want to risk his long-term health. They wanted to give him a little bit more time to rest earlier in the series, and so they held him out. And then KD remains out with his, you know, thing. And so, okay, look, the Warriors were shorthanded. But, and if you want to just attribute the entire result to the Warriors being shorthanded, you can do that. You can do that. I mean, it's on the table for you. The Warriors didn't have the same punch as they normally would, although they still scored 109 points, which is what they scored in games 1 and 2. Regardless, though, the Warriors had their excuse. But I'll tell you this, man. The Raptors took that game. They took that game. It wasn't, and they had to take that game, too, because it wasn't just given to them. You know what I mean? This is the thing. The Warriors are an incredible team. Like I said after game 2, the podcast then, they have such an incredible construct on offense by playing around Steph Curry, who is an elite offense unto himself. And then you have, like, two of the greatest defenders of all time in Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala back there. So, like, they have a construct still. Even though they're shorthanded, of course, they miss Klay a lot. He's very important. They miss KD a lot. He's very important. But they have an incredible construct both ways. And when you look at this team, I mean, they played with the heart of a champion tonight. Like, they really did. Steph Curry was sensational. Like, even watching him just cook up my team, I was having a lot of fun doing it. Like, I'm just like, this isn't it. Just as a basketball fan, purely as just a fan of the game, like, Steph was sensational. And at no point did the Warriors ever surrender. I mean, they kept Steph Curry they played him the entire second half until about a minute, like 2 minutes left in the game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how seriously they took this game. They made multiple comeback pushes. Like, guys like Jarebko and Draymond Green were making threes down the stretch. And it just, like, you know, like the Raptors had to actually take it. And that's where I got to credit the Raptors a lot. Like, the Raptors came out and took this game. I mean, first of all, if you look at the starting lineup, rarely do you ever see production like this from the starting lineup where the Raptors, all five starters scored 17 points or more. You got 30 for Kawhi, 18 for Pascal, 17 for Mark, 18 for Danny, which is, wow, 18 for Danny is wild. And also 23 for Kyle Lowry. And, like, I mean, you look up and down the roster, the Raptors effectively limited the rotation to 7 players. They played a little bit of Pat McCaw in the first half. They played a little bit of Norman Powell throughout. But, like, for the most part, it was a 7-man rotation. It was Kawhi, Pascal, Mark, Danny, Kyle, Fred, and Serge. That's it. 7 guys on the road. Keep it tight. And all 7 guys made positive contributions. And what can you say about the Raptors? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was truly a team effort. And again, you whatever. You want to say the Warriors were shorthanded, whatever. I don't care. Fine. They were shorthanded. But, like, Raptors won this game. They came out. I was very impressed by the performance. I mean, early on, it was sort of a, the game was a little bit raggedy. That was the only way to really describe it. Like, Steph was incredibly inventive with the way he was scoring the basketball, and he was very opportunistic and honestly was shot hunting, which is kind of what they had to do. I mean, like, Steph shot 31 times and he had a career high, at least for the playoffs, 47 points because the Warriors needed him to do it. But he was doing it. You know what I mean? Like, Steph was just sensational. And on the other side, like, you know, what really kept the Warriors or what really kept the Raptors in the game early on was how good their offense was. Like, they scored 36 points in the first quarter. And that's where, okay, so Klay is an important defensive player for them as well. He's a very good two-way player. But at the same time, the Raptors came out with a very good offensive scheme. And honestly, and thinking back about this game, like, the main focus of what I wrote, you know, post-game was, I was very impressed by what Nick Nurse did. He managed a really, really freaking good game that started with Marc Gasol getting a lot of touches early on. So they made a real point to take DeMarcus out of the game. And the way you do it, the way you neutralize a guy like DeMarcus is, you know, he's obviously great offensively. He can do a lot of things. He's skilled. He can shoot. He can pass. He can score in the post. You know, he can even handle a little bit. He's honestly one of the most skilled offensive big men in the league. But the way you take out DeMarcus is you exploit him defensively. And since DeMarcus came back from his calf injury, or sorry, his quad injury, like he's been quite limited. And, you know, in game two, the Raptors didn't do a good enough job of that. DeMarcus played 28 minutes. He was a huge factor in the win for them. And today, the Raptors, you know, Nick Nurse basically was like, yo, we got to attack these guys. We got to attack DeMarcus in particular. Now, it was a bit of a different approach because he kind of took that same thing in game two, where I think they started the game with like six straight pick and rolls straight at DeMarcus, and it really did hurt them early on because Kawhi was, you know, hitting some jumpers and stuff. But this time, he decided to go through Marc Gasol, and he decided to engage Marc Gasol offensively. And anytime you engage Marc Gasol offensively, it's like that with any big man. You give him a couple of touches, you know, he's going to provide better production for you, you know, throughout the game. But especially attacking through Marc Gasol, Mark was very opportunistic in the first quarter. He was firing away from three. He was getting into the post. And in all these scenarios, Boogie was slow. Like, he was slow in the post. He was fouling. He was reaching. He sent Mark to the line. On the three-point shot, Mark was getting open shots. I mean, he missed them, but there were still good outcomes for the offense. And basically, you know, they just took DeMarcus out of his rhythm. And especially in a game where, again, you don't have Klay and you don't have KD, like, they needed someone else besides Steph to be another focal point of the offense. And so that responsibility should have fallen on Boogie. But, like, the Raptors made a point to you know, hunt him to the point offensively where he was such a liability that Steve Kerr decided, you know what, I got to play defense. I need to go instead with Bogut. And he got kind of lucky because Bogut actually played really well. But, you know, I thought the idea to the emphasis of Marc Gasol early on was brilliant by Nurse. I thought Pascal came out incredible in terms of just how aggressive and tenacious he was. Now, granted, he faded as the game went on, but I mean, he was attacking in the post. He was doing, you know, just every single mismatch, basically, you know. And that's something where I think, again, the Raptors, this has sort of been a huge learning process for Pascal. Obviously, he's never had this big of a role in this big of a situation before, and he's been up and down, and I think he's going to continue to be that, especially as a young guy. But, like, I thought he picked his spots great today. I thought, you know, he went to work against Livingston in the post. He went to work against Iguodala in the post. He had a couple of, like, nice little cuts, you know, big man action, you know, high-low feeds between Pascal and Mark, and it was just, the two of them worked great offensively together, and the Raptors had 36 points early on. Now, I mentioned, you know, Steve Kerr decides, okay, I got to go to Bogut defensively. And Bogut was really good, you know, defensively, especially in game two. He was a big reason why the Warriors were able to keep the Raptors off the score sheet for so long in the second half. But also, you know, he's just very smart. And there's a lot of, like, you know, just built-in IQ between Iguodala, Draymond, and Bogut. Not only are the three of them, like, plus-size defenders for their positions, but, like, they played together for a long time. They played together in 2015. They played together in 2016. Like, they won a championship together. That's those three. So, like, they have a collective knowledge. And I thought Bogut was really good, you know, in terms of just shutting off the paint. Like, Kerr made a smart move to put Bogut onto Pascal. That kind of effectively, you know, quieted Pascal. And then Draymond and Iguodala were really good at trapping Kawhi. I mean, Kawhi had a very quiet first half, and Pascal, after a hot start, also cooled off. And basically, the Raptors, they kind of went scoreless for like 4 minutes in the second quarter there. And, and the Warriors were kind of just cut into their deficit. And at halftime, it was 8 points. The sentiment at the time, I was feeling great because I'm just thinking, like, man, the Warriors are going to come out really strong in the third quarter. They're legendary for their third quarter pushes. And so, you know, I thought it only going up 8 points in the first half was kind of an opportunity to miss. But, you know, again, Nick Nurse makes great adjustments. Coming out of halftime, instead of going with Danny Green and Kyle Lowry in the backcourt, which is obviously, you know, started every single game throughout this playoff run, he decides to shuffle it up and he replaces Green with VanVleet. Now, this is no knock against Green, who was pretty good. You know, he had three threes in the first quarter. He was playing well, you know, defensively. He wasn't getting as many looks against Steph, but, like, you know, he was okay in that front. But Nick Nurse basically said, look, Fred is my best Steph Curry defender, and I just know that the Warriors are going to make this comeback push through Steph, so I'm going to put my best defender out there. And you got to give it up for Steph. I mean, he was hitting some tough, like, running twos, and, like, he had, like, a push shot from, like, the free throw line that went in, like, some tough shots. But VanVleet was making him work. He was making him work, and, like, you know, I thought it was a great decision by Nurse to put Van Vliet, you know, in the game in the most important time. Because, like, you know, forget who's starting, who's ego, whatever. Just make sure you have the best players on the floor in the most important situations. And that's what, you know, he did. And, you know, I thought the side effect of having Fred guard, you know, Steph, it was that, like, Kyle was able to get free for more just opportunities offensively. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Kyle today was fantastic. 23 points, you know, 9 assists on 8 of 16 shooting, 5 of 9 from deep in 43 minutes. Sensational. Total opposite of what he did in Game 2. Game 2, he was gambling too much, this and this and this. You know, in the first half, I'm not going to lie, Kyle was getting torched by Steph. Like, just, torched. Like, Steph would put it behind his back, shoot off the dribble. Kyle was just a step slow and then, you know, was fouling and stuff like that. Like, it just wasn't great. But, you know, second half, Van Vliet starts the second half along with Kyle. Van Vliet's able to take that assignment, and Kyle has more energy. And I thought Kyle's playmaking, especially in the second half, was really good. He had 5 assists in the second half, a lot of those going to Serge, a lot of those going to Kawhi, you know, Marc Gasol, a couple of those as well. But also Kyle hitting some threes, and I think especially when Kyle's able to look for his own offense and attack. And this is where I think Klay was actually missed the most was, you know, Klay has taken turns guarding point guards, and he started the series guarding Kyle, and I think a big reason why Kyle was quiet was because Klay is such a good point guard defender. Now granted, Klay got other assignments as well, but you know what I mean, like, Kyle just had a hard time. Now it's a different story against Livingston is capable, but he's older, and I thought Kyle just, you know, was able to lose him across screens and stuff like that. Also, the Warriors are playing a lot of Quinn Cook because they needed some offense. And so, you know, Quinn Cook is not a defender whatsoever, so Kyle was able to go off. But Kyle was able to establish himself offensively, and I thought, you know, that opened up opportunities for the rest of his teammates. It's the same deal. I mean, we talked about this a million times. You know, Kyle obviously needs to be aggressive to be effective as a point guard, especially offensively, and tonight he did that. But, you know, obviously, putting Van Vliet on Steph was able to just limits his energy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Kyle has more energy available to play offense, and I thought he was great in that end. And I also thought that, like, again, going back to the point about Bogut. So, like, basically, DeMarcus came on this third quarter, missed a bunch of layups. Very early on, he was pulled for Bogut. And so, and you know, Bogut worked great defensively in the first half. And then second half, total different story. You know, Nurse made a point to have Van Vliet attack Bogut in the pick and roll situation and then pull up. Because, like, you know what Bogut's going to be. He's going to be dropped back all the way at the rim like a Brook Lopez type. Except he's not nearly as agile as Brook Lopez because he's older. But, you know, Bogut's going to be in the paint. And so if you set a good screen up top with whoever's playing center, either Mark or, you know, Serge, like, if you set a good screen, like, there's an open pull-up jumper right there. And I thought Fred hit, you know, 2 pull-up jumpers, you know, to sort of exploit Bogut there. And I also thought it was actually very smart because they also, not just on the ball, but off the ball, they had Danny Green come across pin down screens where, again, it's involving Bogut's man. And so if you set a good screen and you let deliver the pass, I mean, he's going to be wide open for a spot up jumper. And so that's something you don't see enough with Danny. Like, you don't usually see Danny spot up. Like, if he does spot up, it's like a catch and shoot in the corner or something like that. But you don't usually see him on the move going around pin downs like a Terrence Ross type. But against a guy like Bogut, where he's going to be camped out in the lane, there are perimeter shots open. And I thought the Raptors did a great job in the second half to solve that kind of defensive strategy by Bogut. And so Bogut wasn't as viable. Then Jordan Bell had to come in. Jordan Bell is, like, clueless defensively. He fouls a lot, makes a lot of bad decisions. And yeah, I mean, you know, the Raptors offensively in the second half was kind of what carried them. They scored 36 points in the third quarter to hold off the Warriors. The Warriors did have their best quarter offensively in the third quarter with 31 points, and Steph was hitting some crazy shots towards the end of it. But, like, I mean, man, the Raptors, you know, were able to actually build their lead in the third quarter, which was huge. And then down the stretch, the Raptors defensively were really carried by Serge Ibaka. And again, I give Nurse a lot of credit for this because most people, you know, especially on the timeline, people were screaming about pulling Serge because Serge was really tentative. He was making bad reads defensively. Like, Steph got a 3, and then, you know, Serge is wide open for 3, and then he turns it down, and the offense, you know, muddled and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, there was, honestly, like, Serge was not playing well. And he hasn't played well, you know, basically in the series up until that point. But Nurse decides, no, I'm going to stick with Serge. I'm going to show confidence in Serge the way I showed confidence to Danny, the way I showed confidence in Fred. And it worked out. It worked out. Serge was phenomenal in the second half. You know, like, first off, he had 6 blocks tonight. He had 5 blocks in the second half. Now, I think 2 of those blocks were goaltends. And, you know, it's just unfortunate. Although, you know, Clay had that goaltend in the game two against Pascal, and that wasn't reversed. So whatever. You know, I'm not crying poor for the Warriors. And there's no sympathy here. Bad officiating is bad officiating. But having said that, Serge in the second half was sensational defensively. The Warriors as a whole shot 16 of 36 in the restricted area tonight, which is like 44%. Like, they, like, just to put that number into perspective, first off, teams usually shoot like around 60%. But like the Warriors in particular, like, just think back on game two, how many backdoor lobs they were throwing, things like that, cuts, you know, just backdoor cuts, stuff like that. Like, they were getting so many easy layups, and that's ultimately what killed them in game two. It wasn't necessarily, you know, Clay's like incredible shot making in the first half, or Steph, you know, whatever, 23 points. It was all those layups. Today, they were trash around the rim, and especially in the second half. Serge had 5 blocks in the second half, 2 on Steph Curry, which Steph would come across the screen, he would try to do a little floater over Serge, and like, Serge blocked it twice. He had a chase down block against Quinn Cook. Serge was phenomenal. Like, end of the game, Jerebko tried to go inside. Serge blocked him there as well. You know, had the thumbs down celebration in the crowd. Like, Serge was sensational. And again, most coaches would have pulled Serge. Like, they really would have pulled Serge. But man, you know, Serge really stepped it up. I'm really, really happy. And so overall, I mean, you know, it was a team effort. All 7 players that played tonight contributed. Kawhi obviously leading the way with 30, and very quiet 30 points by him. But seriously, that just speaks to his ability. I mean, 30 points, 9 of 17 shooting. Didn't have to force his offense that much. Got to the free throw line 11 times. 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, this guy is sensational. But, you know, Kyle stepped it up today. Danny stepped it up today. Danny had 6 three-pointers. That's pretty good. Danny had 6 three-pointers. And even Marc Gasol, obviously the point to highlight Gasol in the offense early on against Boogie was great, because it, you know, neutralized Boogie, but also got Gasol going, and Gasol had a great game. But yeah, I mean, even if you look at the bench, Fred, you know, came in, you know, pressured Steph. Now, granted, Steph had 47, but that, Steph had a hard 47, if that makes any sense. And even Serge, you know, turned it around after a slow start, had a great game. So it's a great team effort, great team effort. I thought Nick Nurse, again, you know, was sensational in terms of pulling on the right strings. And, you know, it wasn't a, I mean, people were calling it a must win because of the context. Like, obviously, the Warriors being shorthanded, you want to be able to capitalize because these guys will come back eventually and it'll be more difficult. But at the same time, I mean, we're in the NBA Finals. Like, all these games are must wins. And so after losing game two in pretty painful fashion for the Raptors, because, you know, they had led throughout most of that game and then they blew it, you know, for them to come back into Oracle Arena and to get this win. I mean, again, I know you can, it's always easy after the fact to be like, oh, you know, like, oh, they're missing this guy and this guy and this guy. Like, even Kevon Looney, a guy like that was missed. You know, he basically got bodied by Kawhi. That's the only word for it, is he got bodied and broke his collarbone. I mean, whoo, that man is strong. But yeah, I mean, you know, like, okay, you could say the Warriors are shorthanded, but like, they did not play shorthanded tonight. Like, I didn't see it. Steph, first off, did enough scoring for like 2 guys at least, right? Normally you would get 47 combined points from Clay and Steph. You know, and today he was insane. And Draymond hit 2 threes. Iguodala hit 2 threes. I mean, that's not something that would normally happen. And I mean, again, you know, if you want to discredit the win for the Raptors, you know, you can go ahead. You can say, you know, this is one of those things where the Warriors might have punted the game just to get guys, you know, more healthy for the rest of the series. But you know, the Raptors just came into Oracle and they took it. And the Warriors made a lot of runs. You know, like, the Warriors weren't just going to – at no point were the Warriors were like, I'm going to quit. I'm going to die. It doesn't matter. You know, they never did that. They never did that. And, you know, with Steph playing the way he was, I mean, he was hitting ridiculous shots. You're just never out of a game. And especially with the home crowd against, you know, on your side and everything, like – it's not easy to go into Oracle and get these wins, but man, the Raptors, they were so impressive. And again, it goes to the fact that you have all 7 players playing at once. And this is the type of basketball I love seeing from the Raptors. Like, when you have, you know, it's not just every play is going through Kawhi, right? Kyle can provide offense, not just with his own scoring, but with his playmaking. And, you know, Mark can be a threat offensively. Danny could be a threat offensively. Fred could hit some, I mean, Fred hit some tough clutch shots, especially in the third quarter there, where the Warriors, I think, cut it down to like 5 or maybe even 3 points. You know, you know, Fred coming in and hitting some jumpers, you know, against that drop scheme by Bogut, like, you know, clutch shots. And VanVleet also hit a ridiculous three at the end of the game to, you know, as the final nail in the coffin. But it's just a great effort by the Raptors, you know. And you know what the crazy thing is, man? Like, they weren't jumping around. They weren't excited, you know what I mean? Like, they weren't really celebrating it. They just kind of, like, came in, they did their business. And, you know, in the post game, they were very businesslike. No one was up too high, no one was too low. It's sort of the mentality they've had all year. You know, Kendrick Perkins, shout out Kendrick Perkins, actually. A great addition to the media has been Kendrick Perkins. He's been great. He's also been really friendly to the Raptors. I mean, not even friendly. The Raptors just been really good, and he's been telling it like it is. But Kendrick, you know, reported after the game that he was like, yo, the Raptors coming off into the tunnel and stuff. Didn't hear anybody. Everyone was stone-faced and stuff. This team came in and did a job. They came in and did a job. And then they put a smackdown on the Warriors. And again, like, you could say the Warriors are shorthanded. Sure, whatever. They're going to get guys back. You know, it's fine. Obviously, the Warriors, this is not the – we didn't face the best version of the Warriors. But Raptors came out and they performed, man. And I was very, very impressed by this game. Obviously, eventually, Klay and KD will come back. And that hurts. They could probably be back as soon as game four. Apparently, you know, Klay was lobbying the trainers and stuff like that to get going and play today. But, you know, Steve Kerr ultimately said, you know what, we can't risk his health long term and stuff like that. And that's fine. You know, obviously the player is always going to want to play, and they're all competitive, and, you know, they were tough at three. I mean, I saw Klay shoot at practice yesterday before game day, and it was like, obviously it was limited. He wasn't moving really, like, at all, really. But I mean, he could still shoot, you know what I mean? Like, a 50% Klay is still a really good player. He was seriously, he was hitting like probably like 95% of his shots. Like, it was nasty how good he was still shooting, despite the fact that he couldn't really jump. But, like, you know, you would assume Klay will be back for game four. KD's apparently going to be practicing with, like, the reserves and some of the coaches, just to get some, like, live action tomorrow. And, you know, chances are he's going to play in game four. It's always been targeted that he's been in game four. We'll see what he looks like, to be honest. Like, I haven't even seen KD around the team much recently. But, I mean, you know, if he's ready to play, he's ready to play. And so that will be tough. But, I mean, also at the same time, like, there's going to be some identity things, right? Like, it's not just going to be an easy solution. Maybe this is just wishful thinking on my part. But, like, you know, a lot of what's working for the Warriors right now is because they're featuring, like, Steph like crazy. This is like 2016 levels when he was unanimous MVP of just, like, give the ball to Steph, let him move, everyone sort of just screening. The whole offense is basically to free up Steph. And if it's not freeing up Steph and then there's, like, a double team, then they're really, you know, playing secondary actions like Iguodala and Draymond are making cuts and passes that are, you know, beating the Raptors' rotations like that. Like, the whole entire offense is Steph. And that works great. Like, it really is an elite offense. And obviously, it's more elite when you got guys like Klay and KD playing within that. But, like, those guys are going to come in. Those guys are going to demand plays as well. And, you know, it's just – it's not simple, right? I think the Warriors have an offense right now that works under Steph. And it's not just purely additive. Like, there is a cost to giving Klay and giving KD more shots. And provided those guys are even healthy enough to, A, you know, defend – then keep up, and then also provide on the offensive end, you know. I don't know. There's a level of uncertainty there. And again, man, the Warriors are, I don't know. I mean, like, Draymond was on the podium after the game, and he was talking about, like, you know, like, what do we do from here? Well, you know, we're going to go and win game four, and then go on the road and win game five, and come back here and win game six, and everyone's going to have a good time. Like, that's literally what he was talking about. And it wasn't even like anyone was, like, prompting him to get a quote. You know, Draymond obviously, being the motor mouth that he is, he's going to offer that up. You know. But at the same time, like, I mean, they didn't seem that bothered. And you know what? Credit to them. Like, obviously, you would be arrogant too if the Raptors were coming out three championships in the last 4 years with the other, you know, 2016 being game seven, and they were very close to winning that one too. Yeah, you would be arrogant too, but I mean, like, yo, I don't know, man. They're down 2-1 in the finals. They're down 2-1 in the finals. They don't have home court advantage. The team is banged up. You know, it's not just gonna be a walk in the park, is what I'm trying to say. So, who knows? Maybe they come back, and as Draymond said, they rattle off three wins, they close out Oracle with, you know, another title. You know, who knows? Maybe they do that. Or maybe the Raptors actually, you know, pull off the upset here. I mean, yo, the Raptors are playing real well. Like, if you really think about it, like, remember that pass in the end of game two, which obviously the end of game two is very painful, but remember that pass where Steph passing out the double team, and he sails it a little bit, and it's like to Livingston, but Kawhi gets a hand on it. And like, if Kawhi tipped that ball any further, he's going to streak out the other way for a dunk, and it's a tie game. It's probably going to overtime, and the Raptors at that point had a better defense, had more bodies. They were probably going to win overtime. I would give them a really good chance to win overtime. The Raptors are really close to being up 3-0 in the NBA Finals. You know, like, I joked before the series. I was like, yeah, I was, you know, doing the Raps in 5 thing. Like, you know, I'm just saying, like, a couple bounces here or there, like, yo, the Raptors could really be up 3-0. So, you know, they're in a good spot. The Raptors are 2-1. That's exactly where they should be. They could even be 3-0, like I said, but they're in a damn good spot. And it's honestly, pressure's on the Warriors to come back and respond, because to think that they can just walk back in here and take the series back, I mean, maybe against a different team, sure, but against the Raptors, I don't know. Raptors figure some stuff out. I mean, offensively, this is great. And again, the Warriors are no pushovers defensively. I mean, you got some great defenders on that side, but yeah, I don't know. Oh, by the way, you gotta really respect Steph for the way he played, man. I mean, just as a basketball fan, like, seeing like a historically great point guard. Like, I think Steph is the second best point guard of all time behind Magic, and there's honestly a case if you want to make it above Magic, although I wouldn't do that right now. But like, he's clearly one of the best ever to do it. And to see him just go nuts like he did tonight, where, you know what, the responsibility is falling on him, and you know, he's got to take every shot and he's got to create everything. And the way he played, like the diligence that he played with, like even the end of the game, he was like diving for loose balls and crashing the glass and stuff. And I'm just like, man, this guy has incredible energy and just an incredible will to win. So respect Steph, man. He's a sensational player. And especially now the Raptors have the win, I can go back and watch the highlights and just appreciate greatness, because he was phenomenal. But Raps got the win, man. Raps got the win. And now we're up 2-1 in the NBA Finals. After the game, Kawhi, you know, stone face, but you know, he's like, yo, we got two more to go. Two wins away from being two wins away. No, I'm kidding. Three stars. First star is Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry had a great game. You know, it's the old adage. When Kyle Lowry plays well, the Raptors play well. 23 points, 9 assists from Kyle Lowry today, 8 of 16 from the field, 5 of 9 from the three-point range. After looking over the film, game 2 was the worst that Kyle Lowry played all throughout the playoffs. And he's had some duds. I mean, the man started the playoffs with 0 points. But game 2 was bad, really bad. I mean, obviously fouling out is pretty bad, although that wasn't the first time he fouled out through the playoffs. But just, he wasn't aggressive offensively, wasn't really looking for his looks. Defensively, he was very poor. Like, he couldn't even guard Draymond. Draymond was really getting past him easily. And, you know, and then him fouling out in that situation, in the circumstance that he did, on a completely needless play, like 92 feet away from the rim, like, yeah, I mean, Kyle had a bad game, but then he responded. You know, he said coming out on the road, I play better on the road. And then he played better on the road. That's what he did. I mean, he had a sensational performance. Him hitting the threes really does open up everything else, because then it changed the way that the Warriors defend him. They're a lot more aggressive. Him playing off the ball also works a lot, too. I mean, look, as much as people didn't like it in the Sixers series, and, you know, maybe even in the Orlando Magic series as well, where, you know, Kyle and Fred together in the backcourt didn't really work because there's so much length going against them. Like, there's not the same amount of length, and there's definitely not the same amount of physicality from these Warriors. These guys are older. They're not playing with the same intensity level as, like, even James Ennis, you know what I mean? Or, like, Michael Carter-Williams. Like, those guys were actually really good defensively against the Raptors. But those two defenses, like, the two-point guard combo for the Raptors has always been great. Like, it just has always been great for the offense. And freeing up Kyle to come around screens to shoot and stuff like that. Like, Kyle was really good in terms of his three-point shooting. And he was just really aggressive looking for his offense. And when that happens, when the defense is really fixated on, okay, we got to stop Kyle Lowry, then it opens up opportunities everywhere else. Like, the 9 assists is great. And, you know, there's times where Kyle Lowry is getting 9 assists. Like, in game 1, for example, he got 9 assists because he was just conducting the offense. Like, it's not all assists are equal. You know what I mean? Like, there's the assist where a guy is generating the whole assist. And there's assists where he's just making the right swing pass and the guy's into a guy who's going to be open and he makes it. But, you know what I mean? Like, someone else dropped a double team earlier, for example. Kyle today, his 9 assists were very much, he generated those. Like, he broke down the defense, and he dished it off the guys who were open. And I thought Kyle was, he just set the tone for the Raptors. I mean, look, defensively, he was getting torched. No lie. He probably gave up 23 points against Steph by himself. Like, it was really, really embarrassing at times watching Kyle guard Curry. But, like, man, Kyle couldn't guard Curry when he, the one that was in prime. Like, remember, like, Curry had 44 points on Kyle in, like, 2015. So, like, I don't know why you would expect it to be different 4 years later. But, obviously, once Nick Nurse flipped that assignment to Van Vliet full-time, it really did help. And yeah, Kyle was really good. He's getting my first star. Second star, I'm giving that to Kawhi. I don't know how you can deny the fact that he had 30 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, made 6 of 10, or made 10 of 11 from the free throw line, hit 2 threes, hit 9 of 7 from the field. I just thought it was a very balanced game from Kawhi. He didn't really have to overexert himself. You know, I think the Warriors do make life very difficult on him. He's had very high turnovers throughout each of the last 3 games, and Draymond and also Iguodala have really hit him with some very smart traps. Even Boga got into the mix a little bit there in the second quarter, but I thought Kawhi, first off, he moved the ball well. I mean, the 6 assists is always very welcome. Obviously, he's getting a lot of defensive attention, so he should really be generating a lot of assists just because of the circumstances. But, like, I mean, he just played a great game, like, all around. Like, there's this, you know what I mean? Like, very balanced within this flow of the offense, and it's a very quiet 30. And you know, there are games where Kawhi will get you a loud 35, but somehow today he had a very quiet 30. You know, he was just very opportunistic with his offense. Warriors fans were very upset with the whistle he was getting, which is hilarious when Steph Curry is shooting 14 free throws a game off flops and shit. But, like, you know, Kawhi's, it's not easy to guard Kawhi, and you know, maybe he's getting to the free throw line because you're guarding him with a G League and Alphonso McKinney, and maybe you consider that. But Kawhi was sensational, and I think as the series goes on, the Raptors are going to have to figure out more things in terms of just how can Kawhi, you know, basically beat the defense of Iguodala and Draymond, because the two of them together are very, very difficult. And I wouldn't say Kawhi's had his best offense against them. It's against everyone else that he torches, but eventually you're going to have to solve the main matchup. And I think whether that's with the pass or with his own scoring, like, you know, there are still improvements to be made there. But overall, Kawhi played a very balanced game within the scheme of the offense. Didn't take a lot of shots where I was like, okay, you didn't need to take that. Like, he didn't try to do, like, takeover Kobe-style shots. He didn't do that tonight. And that was great because it opened up opportunities for the rest of the team to thrive. And then the third star, there's a couple ways you can go with it. I mean, Pascal had 18, 9, and 6. Although I would say with Pascal that he did most of that damage in the first half and he kind of cooled off. Mark had a great game, 17 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. The Raptors as a whole, by the way, moved the ball beautifully, 30 assists after only recording like 17 in game 2. Like, the ball movement was much better. But, you know, Mark had a great game. But yeah, I mean, this is so tough. It really comes down to either Danny or Fred. And I'm going to give it to Danny just because he's had a tough playoffs, and I feel like he deserves some recognition, especially since this is probably his best performance of the playoffs. But I mean, Fred, I mean, just to acknowledge him, like, the fact that he started off the third quarter there, which, you know, actually that was a really smart move by Nurse, like, because, you know, Danny had 3 fouls at that point. And to have him then come out and guard Steph, it just wasn't palatable. Like, you can't play your best defense with 3 fouls on you to start the second half. Like, so anyway, so it was a great job by Nurse to put Fred out there. But no, seriously, Fred hit a lot of momentum shifting shots and he deserves a lot of credit. But I mean, look, realistically, man, Fred's been getting a lot of credit anyway because he's been playing phenomenal. But Danny finally stepped up. I mean, 3 threes in the first quarter. There's one where I forget who closed out on him, but he jumped. He did his classic pump fake. The guy flew by him, and then he like leaned forward so much on the corner shot that it was almost like an 18 footer on the baseline, like one of those LaMarcus Aldridge joints or Chris Bosh joints, and he hit that 3. But it was like he had already jumped and leaned his way in to the arc, but he switched that, and you know, in the third quarter there, he was very instrumental in terms of just keeping the Raptors offense going. Another 3 triples, and a lot of that is just, you know, Raptors getting stops, going on transition, finding Danny. But for real, though, Danny's been missing a lot of those shots. So to see him finally do it today was great. The foul trouble and stuff, it hurts. I mean, and part of that is the price of guarding Steph, especially because he's is very good at suddenly jerking his body around like a fish and getting foul calls. To be honest, I mean, Steph is just like Steph is just doing what he has to do for real. Like, it's the NBA Finals. Like, if you got to lie, cheat, and steal to get your way there, that's cool. But like, some of these calls are real generous. There was like a terrible carry that he got away with. There was like play where he like fully double dribbled, like just fully traveled with the basketball. Like, he had jumped up in the air with the ball and then landed. I mean, whatever. Steph has there's a loose ball foul on one end. That one in favor of the Warriors, and the other end, the same situation, loose ball, but it's a jump ball. I mean, I don't know. Whatever. It's a home court. I mean, one of the greatest players of all time. Of course, he's going to get a nice whistle. But I thought Danny hit some great threes, and it's just nice to see Danny get going. And, yo, man, Warriors fans will tell you, Danny kills the Warriors. They were very leery. They're very, I guess, leery and also weary of playing Danny. And he showed it today, finally, man. 18 points. This is long overdue. This is long overdue, man. But it was nice to see it from Danny, and hopefully there's more of these to come, because he's gonna get open shots. He really is. And then on the other end, in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, look, I'm gonna say this with all due respect, right? But like, it's got to go to Steph, and it's not saying that like Steph is a Gerald Henderson quality player. Absolutely not. There's no disrespect whatsoever. I just mean that he stepped up to such a degree that even by Steph's lofty historical standards, like, he still deserves it, man. Man, the guy was insane. The shots he was hitting was crazy. 47 points, you know, and he did it efficiently, despite the fact that the Raptors were sending extra bodies at him all the time. Like, 14 of 31, including 6 of 14 from 3, 13 of 14 from the free throw line. He got 7 assists. I think in the first quarter, Steph had hit 7 of the actual field goals they scored, and an assist on another 3, and they only had like 10 field goals in the first quarter. Like, Steph was literally doing everything, and like, the Raptors were selling out defensively. Like, they didn't do the box and one again, because I don't know. I mean, like, I think the Warriors were obviously prepared to do the box and one, and then Nick Nurse was like, oh, you thought I was gonna do it again? No, never mind, I'm not gonna do it. But I mean, maybe they should have, you know. Like, Steph was killing them, but it's just incredible. It really just is incredible. And yeah, I mean, the 47 points is just, it's an all-time great performance. And then again, it's just the hustle that he had towards the end of the game. Like, he won a jump ball. He was diving on the floor for loose balls, you know, poking it for steals, something like that. Like, Steph was killer. And he missed some wide open looks from three, too. You know, a couple times they turn around and sat beside Blake for this one. And, you know, he was just like, he's looking at each other like, whew, wow, we really got away with one there. And that's in a game where he had 47. So, respect Steph, man. He's honestly one of the best players I've ever seen play. And you know, it was great to be in the arena for this, honestly. Like, the crowd, the way like the Oracle Arena like responds to Steph in particular, like, it's a real special connection. And you know, Steph played like an all-time great today that he is, so hats off to him. And then in terms of your Patrick Patterson Award, that's gotta go to DeMarcus Cousins. Listen, DeMarcus, bro, you were really good in game two. You were pivotal. You were, you know, everyone's talking you up. And then today, what happened? 4 points on 1 of 7 shooting. Yeah, that's not going to cut it, man. That's just not going to cut it in 20 minutes, especially when Looney's out and you're back on your home floor and it seems like you're progressing in the right direction in terms of your health. You know, your performances have improved steadily. Like, he laid an egg. He laid an egg. And the Warriors really need him. Like, they need him because they don't even need him to do too much, but they just need him to be able to stay on the floor defensively, because he can do a lot of things offensively. He's so versatile. And especially if you put Steph in a pick and roll with you know, if you have Steph come around a screen, or just whether he's on the ball or off the ball, like, involving DeMarcus, and all of a sudden you get two guys going to Steph and DeMarcus is rolling downhill. Like, we saw in game two, like, DeMarcus can be great, but he was just a non-factor. And in the third quarter there, I mean, it wasn't like the Raptors were killing him so much. Well, actually, no, the Raptors were killing him a lot defensively. Like, there was one play where, like, Mark had the ball, like, on the baseline against DeMarcus and literally blew past him. And I've never seen Marcus all blow by anybody. Like, you know, he's just not that kind of guy. He's a 34-year-old Spanish dude who can't really jump much. But, like, he blew past him. Like, he was AI versus Derek Fisher or something. Like, he just zoomed right past him. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Boogie was just a non-factor tonight. And with the way the Warriors are in terms of just their center rotation, even though they're very deep at the center spot, I mean, like, they don't have two-way guys. And the only guy that's really capable of playing two – well, Looney's capable of playing two-way, like an Amir Johnson type. But, like, he obviously he's out for the series. And so the only guy left is Cousins. And Cousins was no way tonight. Like, not offensively producing nor defensively producing. So – tough game for him, but he's a great player. He'll bounce back eventually. But yeah, you know, Raptors are a good spot. 2-1 in the series, or 2 wins away from the NBA championship. It's actually insane to think about it like that. But, you know, it's just, you know, let's take it one game at a time and things like this. But really 2 games away from the title. And look, it's going to be harder. You know, KD's probably going to be back for game four. Clay's probably definitely going to be back for game four. So it's going to be real interesting to see what happens then, because, you know, if you get all those guys in, the Warriors probably aren't going to shoot 39.6% from the field. But, I mean, at the same time, man, the Warriors got 30 free throws. Steph had 47. Played a pretty good game at home, you know, very determined. And Raptors just played better. They took care of business, you know, real professional effort. And, yo, after all the shit that we've seen as Raptors fans in terms of playoffs, how many times we failed to take care of business? Like game one against the Cavaliers last year. Like the Raptors were winning that game throughout. A lot of, you know, the Cavs were like not rested and things like that. And then to see them blow it, like literally blow tip-ins, multiple tip-ins at the end of game one. To see the amount of times the Raptors had not taken care of business throughout the playoffs. It was just nice. It was nice. This was nice. And it's not easy. Like I mentioned, I don't care that the Warriors didn't have some of their top guns. It's not about that. It's the fact that this is a championship team, and they play with that mentality. They're not just going to give you a game, even a game where they're kind of giving you a game, but they're still not giving it to you. Because you know what? There's no Clay, but there's Steph giving you 47. Like, this is a great team. And the Raptors came in here and they just took care of business. They led from start to finish. And the Warriors made a couple pushes, you know, got like 5 points, 7 points, whatever. And every time that happened, the Raptors had a response. So, you know, shout out the 7 Raptors that you know, played tonight. Shout out Nick Nurse for putting all these guys in the right positions. And yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens for game four. It's going to be very interesting. Game four is a must win for the Warriors. I don't think they want to go down 3-1 with on the road. Although, who knows? Maybe they go down 3-1. You know, all the guys get healthy and they come back and the win streak straight. I wouldn't put it past this team. I mean, let's not forget that they have one of the most stacked teams of all time. But at the moment, Raptors up 2-1. I feel pretty good. Especially since, again, Raps could really be up 3-0. And that's when that Raps in 5 prediction of mine would have looked really damn good. But, you know, Raptors regain home court. Raptors have 2-1 lead in the series. And yeah, I'm feeling real good. So thanks everyone for listening. Again, especially if you're new to the podcast, and if you have enjoyed it, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show. That the obviously the Raptors are, you know, this is a huge moment for the franchise, and it's gaining in exponentially, really gaining in popularity. Especially the deeper they go in the playoffs, and there's a lot of new listeners. I appreciate that, and you know, the only way that's been made possible is the fact that people are supporting the show. They're rating it in the iTunes store. That helps surface the podcast to new listeners, and people are obviously spreading with word of mouth and stuff like that. So thank you for doing that. And again, I urge people to please rate, review, and subscribe. But listen, it's not just a podcast, you know. By the way, I'm going to put out a podcast tomorrow as well. I'm still trying to land the exact guests, but I definitely want to take a look at the series and sort of where game four might be, you know, headed. But so look for that podcast there. But I mean, it's not just podcasts, you know, like the coverage on Yahoo Sports Canada right now is, you know, if I can just compliment my own team, like it's been phenomenal. Like you look at the social game, you know, who's bringing you Norman Powell getting snubbed by Kawhi, which if you haven't seen it, go look at the video. It's up on our Twitter and also our Instagram. But like before the game, Norm's trying to hype everyone up. You know, he puts out the hand to get a fist bump from Kawhi. And Kawhi, first off, doesn't look at him for like a solid 6 seconds. And then when he finally looks at him, he literally doesn't dap him. But instead, he just points towards the tunnel. And Norm's just like, all right, I'll pull the thing back. And it's just like, yeah, that's honestly just how focused Kawhi is. But seriously, we're bringing you that moment. We're bringing you live footage from after the game where, you know, all the Warriors fans filed out, but all you got left is, you know, Raptors fans. Obviously, a lot of them here, especially people working in Silicon Valley. You know, shout out U of T, shout out to Waterloo. A lot of expats here, but, you know, fans chanting "Let's go Raptors" after the game, chanting singing "O Canada" afterwards. Very beautiful scenes. A lot of Raptors fans, seriously, a lot of Raptors fans out here. You can clearly tell that there's a lot of Canadians in this area, but. You know, again, the social game. I mean, we're killing it. Instagram, Twitter, like, you know, you're getting footage that you're not seeing. A lot of other places aren't seeing. You're getting video coverage. Shout out, you know, all the work that Keyshawn and Ahmed are doing. You know, they're working tirelessly to bring you sort of behind the scenes access. I mean, just on Keyshawn in particular, I mean, I would say at this point, probably like a solid 10% of Toronto Raptors fans have like Keyshawn's photos as their phone backgrounds. Like, he's the one bringing you Kawhi dunking various posters, Pascal dunking various posters, you know. Keyshawn is just a sensational photographer, especially for someone of his age. And you know, like, I mean, his stuff is getting turned into murals and T-shirts and stuff like that. I mean, you know, we're out here. But, like, you know, even all the written content, you know, I'm putting out, you know, 10 things, you know, I call him, you know, after each game. But, you know, Vivek's, you know, doing his thing. He's been great. You know, Sirit's doing her thing. Alex is always bringing you innovative angles in terms of Raptors coverage. I mean, he just did a podcast with Chris Bosh. Like, you should definitely check that out. Podcast with Tracy Murray. Like, I mean, he's, you know, Alex is one of the, he doesn't say much about himself, but Alex is one of the most underrated, you know, writers on all of basketball Twitter. He's a really, really smart and really clever writer. And, like, you know, the whole coverage team, man. I mean, like, Arun is, you know, shout out my guy Arun, but, you know, he was handling a live block tonight. That's obviously, if you were catching the game midway in progress and you want to find out what happened in the first half to get context, because, you know, people are busy lives, you can't watch the whole games all the time. Like, you know, that's probably a great place to go back and check out what's going on. And Arun really is very detailed and meticulous in terms of his coverage. But seriously, the whole team, you know, the whole entire Yahoo Sports Canada team. Again, I know I'm tooting my own horn, but, like, as a Raptors fan, you know, this is the kind of coverage I'd like to see, like, that I've always wanted to see as a Raptors fan. So I'm for me personally, I'm really happy to see it exists. And so, you know, shout out Dan Tillman, obviously, for putting it all together, but, like, the whole team right now is working great. So whether it's Instagram, whether it's Twitter, whether it's, you know, all the blog content, the video content, whatever you're seeing, YouTube channel, Inside the Green Room, you know, everything Harrison is doing, you know, we got it all covered. So please follow Yahoo Sports Canada on all platforms and get on that. It's a great time to be a Raptors fan. If you're new to the team, it's a great time to join. The diehards and the new bandwagon fans are kind of in the same boat. Like, it's just, nobody has never been this far in the playoffs in terms of as a Raptors fan. So we're all experiencing this for the first time. It's all happening together. The viewership numbers across Canada are wild. Basically 35% of Canadians tune in for game two. And I can only assume that the number even climbed even higher today, like, for game three when they won. So, like, man, I mean, you know, it's a wonderful time. And again, the Raptors are two wins away from the chip. So.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's a really, really exciting time. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And I'll be back tomorrow.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.